Welcome to the Jonah Jones podcast, where I speak to everyday CrossFitters about different areas of their everyday life and how CrossFit has impacted them. Every episode, the topic is randomly selected, and I also give my guests the chance to ask me any questions about anything they choose to. I have been coaching CrossFit for over 2 years now and have met a wide range of interesting people who are all on their own fitness journey. This is their story. I hope you enjoy. Let's get going. Hello.
Morning.
Welcome. Episode four of the Jonah Jones podcast. I'm here with Zoe. This is a challenge for me. I think the first three episodes I have had four guests that I've already known. I've known quite well. They've been at the gym pretty long time. Zoe's been at the gym for
probably 8 or 9 weeks now.
8 or 9 weeks. So I don't know Zoe as well as my previous guests. So I feel challenged here because it's very easy to talk to people, you know. It's not as easy to talk to
That's
people you
don't know.
That's
pretty much why I wanted to come on, because I thought it would be really good to kind of like get you out of your comfort zone.
I am feeling challenged, but I'm feeling ready. I feel like it's a good opportunity to get to know you better.
Let's do it. It's looking 8 forward. O'clock in the morning.
So. 8 o'clock. This is the earliest I've ever done one of these. So if it's nonsense, that's probably why. I do struggle to function before 9 a.m.
We're either going to fly or we're going to crash and burn.
Yeah, it's 8:21 at the rugby club, at the gym.
Friday morning.
Let's get on. Why don't you start by sharing your background of fitness and then your journey into CrossFit now?
Okay, so this is a really long one, so this will probably require loads of editing. So I've done that all. I used to be a competitive swimmer in my teenage years. Then I went to the gym for maybe 15 years, just doing classes and circuits and body pump and aerobics and everything that I thought I should do. And kind of fell into a really vicious circle of over-exercising and thinking that it was the answer to everything. And then probably about 5 years ago, I decided I wanted to compete in a bodybuilding competition. So went hell for leather, like lifting weights, eating absolutely nothing, and then had a wake-up call and realized, yeah, that's not what I wanted to do. Completely stopped it all and trained to be a yoga teacher, because that was obviously the next fad that I thought I was doing. And then I actually really found my feet in that and really enjoyed it. So I do that now, and that's given me like the mobility, but it still wasn't enough. I don't like going into a gym and lifting weights just as heavy as you can go for 6 sets or 3 sets or whatever. So I thought I'd try CrossFit. It's something that I've wanted to do for years and been too scared to do it. Came along to a free class. Hated it a little bit the first time I came.
I think your first class was with me.
Yeah, it was. And I was just like, I am so bad at this. I can't do anything. And after the probably 50th time that you tried to correct my form, and then I could just see you go, do you know what? You're not hurting yourself. So just carry on in the corner on your own. You're absolutely fine. And so I kind of went home and just went, oh, I really hated that. I've got to go again.
Got to master it.
Yeah. And that's what it is. I have to. I'm so competitive with myself, and I don't like being a beginner, and I don't like being not an underdog, but my ego definitely drives some of it.
So how did you find CrossFit here?
I know everyone says, and it's a cliche, oh, it's the team element and it's the this and it's the that, but I found it so encouraging. People I'd never met before and never seen before were almost willing me on to finish. And I was like, it's not like that normally. Normally it's a little shove and a little nudge and a, you know, someone will sneak an eye at someone's weights and then put a little bit more on so they're lifting more. And just, there isn't, I've just said that my ego fuels me, but there is no ego whatsoever. There are people probably 20 years younger than me and 20 years older than me working alongside me, all going for their goal.
How have you felt? Has yoga prepared you well for CrossFit?
Massively, massively. In terms of mobility, so in terms of like depths of squats and shoulder mobility, I know that I have a lot of, I'm hypermobile, that's the one, hypermobile as well, which can sometimes detriment because my body, especially my arms and my shoulders, will go further than it should. But in terms of mobility, it's definitely helped me.
Yeah, I mean, so many movements require that mobility. Good movement is so key, especially with things like Olympic lifting.
Yeah.
Have you found any movements you've struggled with?
Overhead squats.
Overhead squats,
what? Yeah, I don't squat. That's my whole I don't squat period. I hate it.
Why?
And I don't know. It's in my head that I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so overhead squats last week, it probably took me 5 minutes to do 21 reps. I threw my weights. I threw my body. I almost cried with frustration because I just couldn't do it.
What was holding you back?
My mind.
Your mind?
Yeah.
So you could overhead squat?
Yeah. I have all the components on paper to be able to do it. Yeah. My mind told me I couldn't do it. I looked at the board, saw the workout and went, oh, I can't do that. So I didn't do it because my mind stopped me from doing it.
Do you have any movements that you've thought have come really easy to you?
There are certain things like I can walk on my hands, not 50 meters or so, but I can do that because that's kind of what I do in yoga anyway. But what I'm having to do is unlearn certain ways of getting into movements. Deadlift forms are dreadful, but I find deadlifts quite easy. So as soon as I'm correcting my form, things are starting to click. So it's more, I'm quite strong in my upper body, in my shoulders. So handstand push-ups, they don't come easy to me, but they're okay. So I don't think anything comes easy, per se. Definitely not rowing. I can't row for
coffee. I hate rowing.
I can't
do it. Rowing's the worst.
I just can't.
No, neither.
Apparently I row with my hips and I do lots of effort and no output, so.
Yeah, I mean, I row quite well. I think it's just my hamstrings again. It's the same as the deadlift, but on a rower. It's a vertical deadlift, so all of that. Load of nonsense. Not for me. All about the squatting.
No.
All about the squatting.
I just can't.
Looking back through your whole history, you know, starting with swimming, bodybuilding, do you still do any of that stuff now?
No, none of it.
Do you miss any of it?
No. I miss swimming. I do.
I said in the last one, I really enjoy swimming, but it is dull.
It's not. It's just a faff. I just can't be bothered to get wet and then get dry and then dry my hair. That's honestly why I don't go so much, because it is a real faff.
If you in like the sea, I can do it. It's okay in the sea. You're in a bit of a nice environment.
Yeah, it is a bit nice.
When you're up and down a pool.
Yeah, going to Windy just doesn't. It doesn't have the same. And then when the slow swimmers in front of me, I just haven't got time for that.
Oh, I just walk in and I'm like, right, where's an empty load?
Yeah.
Where's that? And if there's not one, it's like, right.
Going over.
What am I going to do? I'm going to go home.
But it is so good for you, though.
Yeah, I've really, like the first few times I started swimming, I try and swim once a week. And the first few times, I just remember getting in the pool and looking at people about 40 years older than me, absolutely just cruise up and down.
For hours.
And I'd be like, how are you doing that? Yeah. I'm going the same speed as you, putting about 30 times more effort in and dying. Like, but I don't understand how they're just moving.
Because they've done it for 45, 50 years.
Yeah.
But that's what started my mental attitude towards sport, because I swam competitively at a young age, between the ages of about 12 and 17. That's where my mental attitude towards sport came from. Obviously, having a coach training 7-8 times a week, I had to be really switched on. That's where I learned about nutrition. That's where I started lifting weights and knowing that I had to do supplementary training. So just training in the pool wasn't enough. I also had to do land training. So learning those kind of skills from an early age was really good.
How competitive were you with swimming?
I swam for England once, but what held me back was my mind. The same thing as it did with my overhead squat. My mind told me I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So I quit.
Same with football. I just never worked. I never wanted to work hard.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it all on talent.
Yeah.
And CrossFit's taught me a great lesson, just that talent gets you
so far. Yeah.
And then you've got to start working.
Yeah.
Football, I really didn't like that. I just wanted to go out and play. Never wanted to train. Never wanted to look at where I needed to be better. Never wanted to run.
Just go and be the best.
I just wanted to go on the pitch, score the most goals, and say, right, I'm better than you all. See you later.
Yeah.
Didn't work out so well. Do you feel similar with swimming?
Yep, completely. Yeah. It kind of follows a trend in my life, because it happened with exams as well.
Oh, same, yeah. Yep.
Sailed through my GCSEs because I was mildly intelligent, and then went into my A-levels and said, I don't need to revise, I'm too good for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't fare so well there.
Yeah, cruised through GCSEs, get to A-levels, and I was like, again, got to the year that second year, I did well in my first year. And I got to the second year, I was like, I don't want to be here.
No.
Don't want to be here. So I stopped going. My attendance dropped. I was late every day. I failed all my exams that year. Mm. Still managed to pass because I did quite well in the first year. But I seem to just have that. If I don't like something, I'm not going to work.
Yeah. I'm exactly the same. It's not a little bit of arrogance, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
Insofar as you think that you have enough to be able to carry you, and why should you put that extra effort in?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just, if you find something you like, it's not hard putting the effort in.
No.
But if you're trying to put effort into something you don't like, I just don't see the point.
No.
It's like, you've got one life.
Exactly.
Go and do what you want.
It's taken me a long time to realise that.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely gone through phases of just, right, I'm going to do this now and then get bored of that and not like it and then go. And, you know, I think recently I kind of felt it with CrossFit. It was, I'd done it so much that I was just like,
what's next?
It was like, I've got to a point now where I can either keep working hard or I can do what I've always done and say, right, give it a go. Talent's not enough. I'm going to go and find something where talent is enough.
Really?
Yeah, and
but
then...
is talent ever enough?
No. And that's why I've stayed. I've got back to CrossFit and doing it a lot because I told myself when I started this, I was like, right, I've done this with football, I've done it with cricket, school, everything, I've quit. But when it got hard, and I was like, I don't want to do this. So I told myself, with this, I'm going to keep going, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to see what comes of it.
Yeah.
So that pushed me through to keep going and to keep seeing what I can make of myself when I do work hard. And yeah, it gets hard, but I'm going to try my best not to quit.
You're the only person that's holding you back though, or standing in your way, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said in the last one, there are days where you don't want to train.
Yeah.
But, you know, you feel so much better when you do, when you feel like that. So you've just got to remember that. And, you know, some days you don't train and that's fine too.
Yeah, it's balance.
Balance. Anything to add on what we've covered so far?
No, it's everything is literally down to mindset. I truly believe that.
Mm. Yeah.
You have to have some kind of talent. Yeah. I'm not saying that you can do anything you want. But
yeah, talent gets you so far.
In theory, though, you can do anything you want.
Right then, main topic of conversation. Pick something out of the box. Pick something random.
And then read it.
Mm-hmm.
What could you do better?
I think we just covered that.
We did really, because I said I could do anything better if I believed. Yeah. What's really important?
Okay, yeah, I like that. I got you get to choose, so yeah. Do you want to do that one?
What's really important?
Yeah.
Is that just like a really open question?
Yeah. What is important in your life?
Happiness.
Happiness. And how do you define that?
It's now 8:34. Still had one coffee. I have to think of like the life question. Well, I've been, like we've just said, I've flitted from this to that to the other, and I've never kind of felt settled, and I've never felt in a place where I'm comfortable. And so happiness to me is kind of being comfortable and being okay with everything. It doesn't have to be, you know, amazing. I don't have to wake up every day and skip out of bed and skip down the stairs and, you know, whoop and cheer, although that would be amazing. But it's kind of, it's just being in a place where you're comfortable with everything. That's a really cop-out answer. That's like really boring. But no, it's true. I've got 4 kids that I'm trying to bring up to be happy, to be well-rounded, to kind of not make the mistakes that I have and really kind of like push forward and trying to encourage them to be exactly what they want to be. And ultimately, I just say, if you're happy, that's all that matters. I've worked in massive jobs that I've earned so much money, it's ridiculous, and I've not been happy. I've cried at the thought of going into the office. I've had all this money and just spent it and blown it, and as I say, not been happy. Then I've been the other end of the spectrum, quit my job, gone and worked for myself, and ultimately been happy.
Yeah, I think happiness is one of those things where people don't really get it.
Yeah.
Because I think so many people are obsessed with, right, if I do this, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
When they're not. I mean, on Ben Bergeron's podcast, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a CrossFit coach. He talks about this a lot. And he says that happiness can't lie on the other side of achievement because you always want more.
Mm.
So you say, right, I want to deadlift 100 kilos. As soon as you've done that, and you'll say, I'll be happy then.
Yeah.
As soon as you've done that, though, you're like, right, let's go 110, yep. And then I'll be happy. Yep. And it just keeps getting more and more. Whereas that used to be like how I thought with, you know, if I got these grades or if I got this in football or scored this many goals or, you know, I'd be happy. But it doesn't work like that. I think you've got to get to a place where it doesn't matter what you're achieving. It's more what you're doing and how you look on life and things like that.
It's an inside feeling. For me, it was always chasing a number, be that like a deadlift or a weight on the scales. And if I got here, then I'd feel like this. And so I'd get there and I'd go, okay, nothing's changed. I'm still not happy.
Yeah.
So it's definitely an internal feeling as opposed to external things. And it's different for everyone, though. My version of happy is completely different to yours.
And your version of happy is?
When I've had that second coffee is definitely. But no, it's just feeling like everything's okay.
Yeah.
And that sounds really stupid again. But we all go through massive highs and massive lows in our lives, you know, that's inevitable for everyone. And when you're at that point where you kind of, it's almost like you're in the middle. So you're not on a massive high, you're not on a massive low, and you kind of look around and you just go, do you know what? I'm really good right now.
Yeah, I think for me, it's being comfortable in your own skin.
Definitely.
If you're ever questioning yourself about doing something and you have that thought of, I don't know if I want to do this because I don't know what other people are going to think of me.
Yeah.
You're doing life wrong.
Yeah.
Massively. I think if you're ever worried about what other people think of you, those people aren't, you know, they shouldn't be important to you. You shouldn't care. The people that are important to you won't care about your choices.
No, they'll support you.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyone else doesn't matter. They're not a priority. So I think just being true to yourself and being genuine, living the life you want to live is so key to happiness. And I think so many people get caught up in what people think that don't matter to them.
Yeah, and expectations. I've been through it where I think that someone has put an expectation on me, so I've acted in a certain way, but really I've almost invented that expectation. So I've lived my life for someone else and then just thought, that's not making anyone happy.
Yeah, exactly. Happiness is important.
That's a really long-winded way in the end.
We got there. Happiness is important.
Yes.
What else? What's really important?
I don't know. Is this just for me or can you answer this too?
I can answer this.
Answer it then.
For me, we spoke about it on the last podcast, family. If you want a more in-depth chat about family, go to episode 3. I'll quickly cover it here too. I think your family, not just, you know, direct family, people like close friends as well.
Yeah.
That whole circle, I think they're so key to someone's happiness and think they're really important in anyone's life just because they are the people that support you in those choices and they're the people that stick by you through everything. Mm. And if you have a good network around you, you are going to be feeling so much better with whatever you're doing with yourself just because you know you've got that support. You know you've got people to talk to and rely on. And, you know, you can't do things on your own. You can do things on your own, but it's easier to do it with
Yeah, when you've got those people that you know are there for you no matter what. So you can go and try something that you might not have done before. And if it does all fall down and you have to come back, those people are there still, like, holding you up and championing you and who's right in your corner for you.
Who's that? Do you have one person?
My husband.
Mm-hmm.
He has been the one that's made me push outside my comfort zone. He was the one that made me do my yoga teacher training, that made me do my level 3 PT, that made me do my nutrition diploma, and that said, go out and fight for your dreams. If it all fails, then you can just start again.
Mm.
If you go through the rest of your life not doing it, you'll always be going, what if, what if? Yeah. I looked at people all the time going, I wish I could do that. It's like, why can't you?
Yeah.
It's like, because I can't, because I've got to pay the bills and I've got to look after the kids and I've got to do this.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you're just going to die then, like that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, my mum's that person for me. She's just like, right, if you, I've got it, I'll give you a chance to follow your dreams, because what else is there to do?
Yeah.
There's no point doing something just to get by,
yeah,
and just to live a normal life,
yeah,
and doing things just because everyone else does them. Yeah. And she supports me through whatever I want to do. She puts up with a ton of nonsense, a ton of shit.
That's what moms are for.
Exactly. Like, I don't know how she does it. Shout out, Mom. You're the best.
She just listen, right?
I don't even think she has yet. But I think she knows it's just too much nonsense for her. Too much nonsense.
I also think we live in an era now, though, where it is acceptable to follow your dreams. Mm. Whereas so many years ago, probably when my parents were growing up, you were expected to follow a certain path.
Yeah.
And even probably 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, you were still kind of expected to do school, university, go into some kind of job, earn as much money as you can, retire, you know, have kids, retire. And I think that was kind of like your life path. And whereas now,
even now, it's like when I was at school a few years ago, when I had that, oh, I don't want to be here, I'm leaving. When I was like, oh, I'm not going to uni. The shock, yeah, like from school was like, what do you mean you're not going to uni?
What,
like,
are you going to do with your life?
Are you just going to go crawl up in a hole and die? Yeah. Like, what else is there to do? I was like, I'm not going to uni, mate.
Yeah, but we now live in a world where YouTuber is a dream. Like, yeah, like kids now are growing up wanting to be YouTubers and to be, you know, yeah, Instagrammers. And
it's crazy. Don't like Instagram. Talked about that on episode 2. Is there anything that you think people think's really important, which isn't?
The number. I think people still attribute things to either how much they're earning. People definitely put a price on things like happiness and success. So someone's measure of success would be, oh, well, I've got, you know, a 6-bedroom house, a huge car, and, you know, £1 million in the bank. Ergo, I'm successful.
Mm.
Whereas this person over here might say, okay, well, I have, you know, I live in a 2 up, 2 down, but I have my own business that I absolutely love. I'm rich through love because I have all these people around me. I might not be able to drive the best cars and go on a fancy cruise, but I am successful. So I think we just attribute too much to numbers.
Social media. People care too much about it.
They do.
Instagram, how many followers you got, yeah, who's liking your stuff, I went into it a couple of episodes ago, but no, just people think it's nothing, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. I mean, people, and I've been there, and I've lived my life through the app, and then kind of stepped back and gone, what the hell?
Yeah.
And gone, hang on a minute, if that crashed overnight, Instagram is in control of that little app. If they turn that off overnight, what are all these people who are Insta famous and that have these million followers that do every single thing through that app? If that didn't happen tonight, sorry, if that closed down tonight, do they just crawl into a hole and disappear? Or, you know, what does their life stop? Or
I genuinely don't know. I'd like to see it.
That's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, we can talk about social media all day.
Yeah, whatever. It does have its merits, though, I think.
Yeah, it does. I think if you're a business.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like CrossFit, B76.
Yeah.
The Instagram for them, it's about getting their
community.
Exactly, yeah. Building their message and spreading the word. So I think for people like that, it can be really good.
It's very powerful.
But if you're just putting what you had for lunch on it.
Yeah.
And you're getting obsessed that you need how many likes on your picture of your pasta.
No, it can definitely have negative effects when you see people that you think are better than you and more successful than you. And, you know, it's a highlight reel at the end of the day. It's not real life. People don't post everything. They post the highlights that you want them to see. Exactly. But if you then think your own life is no good compared to what you're thinking that your peers' life's like, then that's when it can come.
And it comes back again to that thinking what other people think is important to you. And they're not even real people. No. They are real people. They're behind a screen.
You don't know them.
Exactly. They shouldn't be your priority. You shouldn't be caring what they think of you. Mm. Anything else? Not important, always important?
No, again, this could be hours. But I think those are the ultimate, I think, as I say, happiness. Again, my perception of it is different to someone else's, but you kind of just know. And then family, I completely agree with you. You know, having those people that you know unconditionally will be there for you. And knowing that you would do that for someone as well.
Yeah, I think with happiness, I think it's hard. You can't feel happy all the time.
Oh, no. Anyone who says they do, I'm sorry, that's not true.
I think happiness is more, it's easier to look back on. So when you get to the end of end of your life, you can look back at something and say, I'm happy with all of that.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the journey
and
in the now.
Can almost be a state of mind, be a state of mind though as well, I think. Mm. If you're having a really, really bad day.
You've got to look for the positives.
Yeah, you can switch it around.
Exactly. Always look on the bright side. Every cloud. I think that's it for what's really important.
Yeah.
That was a nice topic.
It was a little bit different. It was.
You got questions with Jonah? What you got for me?
Okay. So, first of all, I want to know, what is your CrossFit bugbear, or what don't you like about it? This could be like the community or the sport or anything at all. So what don't you like?
What I don't is when people talk about CrossFit and nothing else. Like, I get CrossFit, it's obsessive, it is. It really does become your life a bit. It's when you're thinking, oh, when am I next going to the gym? What's the WOD? How do I? It's like, and it's when it gets to a point where you struggle to talk about anything else.
Do you know people like that then?
Yeah, but I think that's why I also started this. It's because, you know, we've talked about CrossFit, but we've also talked about other things.
Yeah.
And like I said at the start, I don't know you that well. So it's good to talk about other things, because people come into the gym, if I'm coaching, and if you're a new person, it's hard to talk about anything other than CrossFit.
Yeah.
Or just like, oh, well, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
Whatever that is. So I think it's part of the reason I started this, is to talk to people not about CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Because I think CrossFit can be way too consuming. And not that that's a bad thing, because it is such a positive thing in people's lives. But there is more.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my.
So that's your bugbear. Would you tell someone if you thought that they were kind of like obsessed, or that's all they talk about, or?
No. No. But
just let them do it.
I'd try and change the topic, maybe. But no, I mean, I don't want to. You know, anyone listening, you can come and talk to me about CrossFit. That's fine.
Yeah.
But come and talk to me about other things too.
As well.
Yeah.
Like jam.
Yeah. Jam and butternut squash and...
Butternut squash is good.
Still haven't had one. I'm waiting for someone to give me a
butternut squash. You've
never had butternut squash? No, I didn't have a clue what one was.
That's really bad.
I know. If anyone wants to get me one...
You need to go on Instagram more.
I'm waiting for someone.
Everyone eats butternut squash.
Someone to come in, give me a nice butternut squash.
If someone gave you just like a squash, you wouldn't know what to do with it.
I do now.
Okay.
I was informed by Florence. I'll give it a try.
Yeah, you need to. Okay. And my second CrossFit related, seeing as we're just going to talk about CrossFit all the time, because that's what obsessive people do. Why CrossFit over any other sport? So why didn't you leave when you said, okay, I'm bored now to try something else? And why have you settled at CrossFit?
I think it's the range of things you can do with it. It's like when I was playing football, we did the same drills, the same training, the same running every week. And it was so dull.
Yeah.
And then I came into CrossFit. I started CrossFit to get fitter for football, to get better. And when I learned these different ways of training, all the different, you know, varieties and different movements, the different, you know, rep schemes, different combinations of movement, it was never ending. So it's hard to get bored. And I think with CrossFit, you've got to be good at everything. And I'm not saying, oh yeah, I'm great at everything. But I've always been good at a lot of things, but not great at one thing.
Yeah.
So when I came into CrossFit, it just suited me, just because I could be, benefited me to be above average in all these areas. I was like, right, let's do this then. Let's do this.
So why'd you coach?
I like helping people. I like people, you know, I know the joy I've had through CrossFit. I'd like to share that with other people. And I think I've always, you know, before I was coaching CrossFit, I was coaching other sports to kids. And I really enjoyed that as well. I think it's just that comes down to that desire to pass things on to other people. And, you know, it gives you joy. Mm-hmm. So it gives you that desire to give it to other people too.
So where was that aha moment that thought, okay, I'm ready to coach people now? Did you say, okay, I can squat this much now so I can coach people?
No, I don't think it was ever like that. I think it was just a, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty good athlete. Just go do my level one. And then, yeah, it just came from there. But no, I don't think it was ever a point of, oh, now I'm this good, so
yeah,
I can
coach
people.
Yeah, so I can show you what to do.
Yeah, I think it's less about what you can do as an athlete and what you can do as a coach.
As a coach, yeah.
I think they're totally different things. Just because you're a good athlete,
yeah, you
can
don't
be a good
have
coach.
To be.
And the same goes to the other thing. I mean, I think it helps. You know, you can be the best coach in the world, but if you struggle to show other people that,
yeah,
then other people are going to look at you like, I don't really want to learn from you because you can't do it yourself.
Yeah.
Say you had a world-class athlete say, all right, I'll come and give you a lecture or I can teach you some stuff. Or you had that world-class athlete's coach say the same thing. I think most people would want to know the athlete.
Yeah, because they do it on a daily basis.
Because, yeah, they do it. You can see it. Mm. Whereas the coach probably knows what he's talking about way more. But people like seeing it.
Yeah.
So if you can get a blend of that,
yeah,
I think that is what works really well. Yeah. But yeah, just because you're a good athlete doesn't make you a good coach, and the same goes for both.
So you're now a CrossFit coach, mm-hmm, but what did you want to be growing up?
Just a footballer or a sportsman.
Has it always been sports related?
Yeah, it's always been sport. I think I said last week there was a time I was considering, you know, being a writer or something like that. And I'd quite like to write a film still. It's something I'm learning to do, but again, more of a hobby. Everything I like seems to be a hobby.
Side hustle.
Yeah,
that's the latest lingo.
But yeah, it's always been the one thing that's always been there is, oh, I want to be a sportsman.
And there's never been a backup plan, a what if. Have you always believed that you would succeed?
I always believed that it would work. Just I'd be where I ended up, where I'm meant to be.
Yeah.
So
no, that's good. That's really good. That's a really good kind of like outlook to have.
Yeah.
Because you'll always be happy.
Exactly. You're going to, you know, there is times when I worry, oh, what if I don't end up where I'm meant to be? But you will. Yeah, I think I will.
As long as you surrender. Okay, and lastly, ultimate dinner party guests, three of them.
Great
and why?
Question. And why? Okay, one, Thierry Henry. The reason I love football. Thierry Henry, Arsenal's greatest ever player, the best player English Premier League's ever seen. He just was so good at football. I just remember being a little kid, sitting like knees in front of the telly, like so close to it, like watching him play. I didn't care about anyone else. I was just waiting for him to get the ball and do something special.
Yeah.
And if anyone watching wants to see the best goal ever, Thierry Henry away against Real Madrid, Champions League quarterfinal. He just shoves everyone off and just, I'd like him to have a dinner party, but I wouldn't speak to him.
Just watch him.
I'd just look at him. I'd be like, you're Thierry Henry. Second one, my musical guilty pleasure and the coolest guy in the world, Justin Timberlake.
Okay, that's different.
He's the coolest guy in the world. Like, if you go out with Justin Timberlake, you're going to have a good night.
Yeah. Would you talk to him?
Yeah, I'd talk to him.
Yeah.
I think he's just cool. People are going to think I'm really weird for that.
Then I just imagine kind of like this icon. He is an icon, don't get me wrong, but this kind of like really old, like Elvis Presley or something like that, or like a real old icon.
Yeah. And then the third one, Robert Downey Jr., fucking Iron Man. I want to know Iron Man. If you could sit down with and talk to Iron Man, like... He is Iron Man. Like, he's not even Robert Downey Jr. anymore.
He is
Iron Man. Like, no one else can ever play Iron Man ever again. He is Iron Man. So, yeah. Thierry Henry, Justin Timberlake, and Robert Downey Jr.
So, an all-male dinner
party. All-male dinner party. Just lads, talking about football and being Iron Man.
And Iron Man. And then a little bit of sing-song at the end.
Yeah, a bit of a song and dance. A bit of Rocky Body at the end.
Fabulous. This endeth my questions.
Awesome. Good questions.
Soon as I woke up at 6:30 and saw that you needed questions, I think I've actually pulled those ones out of the bag.
No, they were good.
Quite well
they were
this
good.
Morning.
All before 9 a.m. as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's 8:59.
Did it all before 9 a.m. This is usually when I'm waking up.
Fab. So you're going to come into your own now.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
And you can sing jingle at the end.
Have you found this experience?
It's good. It's really enlightening. It's good that, as to say, we've probably seen each other across the box for 45 minutes, never really engaged or spoken.
Mm.
And so I thought it was good.
It was good. As someone that didn't know me quite well before this, I think we've got to know each other a lot better. I think we're quite like-minded.
Yeah, definitely.
How would you suggest to other people that might be listening that don't know me that well, what would you recommend to them coming on? Would you recommend it?
Do it. It's so good to, you know, we have this really good community here. And as I say, I've only been here for 8 weeks. So regardless of whether you've been here for 8 months or 5 years or however many years, it's just really good to kind of get a different slant on everything. And it's just nice to get to know those little bits and pieces of people that you don't see. And, you know, sometimes it is literally a nod across the gym and that's all you see from people and all you hear from people. But learning that you might have the same outlook on something or you might have the same passions outside of CrossFit, it helps to build that community even more.
Awesome. Good place to end.
Fabulous. The sun's shining too.
And the sun's out. Nice day for it. It's been episode 4. If you've enjoyed, then leave a like, leave a 5-star rating. And come on the show.
Yes, do it. It is fun. And you don't have to do it this time in the morning. It's just that I work better in the mornings.
Yeah, we can. Last two have been at like 9 p.m.
Really? So, yeah. No, I'm asleep then.
I'm in my element then. That's when I'm ready to go.
I don't work
there. No, I don't work in the mornings. Anyway, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
No problem. I'll see you next time on episode 5 when my guest will be one of you people listening, hopefully. I don't know yet.
Do it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.